everybody. How are you doing today? I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. This is a pre-recorded program for a number of reasons. One, on Tuesday, when this program is airing, May 28th, it's my partner Gary DeMattei's birthday, and we're going to be out and about celebrating all day long, so I won't be able to do the program. Also, because of the move at Progressive Radio Network, there aren't any live programs being recorded at this moment, so I couldn't do it anyway. But rather than air an older program, a previously recorded program, I wanted to give you something new, something fresh. And my guest today has a new film that's premiering later in the week, so I wanted to get this information to you right away. So let's get right to it. I would like to bring on my guest, Richard Myron. He assistant edited Oscar nominated Life Animated, as well as Art and Craft. He was the lead editor for the recent feature documentary, The Surrounding Game, available on Netflix. He received his BA in art from Yale University, where he won the Howard Lamar Prize, Yale's top film award. Myron was, for 2 years, the director of programming for the Environmental Film Festival at Yale and has a background in animal rights. He received the Marcy Bloom Fellowship in Film and was a fellow in the 2016 IFP Documentary Labs. And Richard is here with me today to talk about a new award-winning film, For the Birds. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I watched For the Birds, which is about 90 minutes. We're talking about it today because it will be playing in cinemas in New York City and in Los Angeles, and we'll give some details about that in a moment. And I wanted everyone to know about it. What I'm excited about today is being able to ask you questions, because the film really posed a lot of questions, and I kind of want to tap your brain about that. I just watched the Broadway show Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. We won the lottery, and we were able to see the two-part show, and we got buttons that say "Keep the Secrets." So I'm not going to divulge what happens. No spoiler alerts in this show, because I think it's important to watch the film, and because there are twists and turns and it gets exciting. So I'm not going to spoil anything here, but I will ask some questions. Great. So the first question is, why did you make this film?
So this film began when I was a senior in college at Yale. I had become a vegan around my sophomore year, and I just got really interested in animal rights and animal rights philosophy and just rescues and sanctuaries. And I, at the same time, was getting into documentary filmmaking. And so I thought for my senior year project, I would make a film about animal rescue and try to film it from multiple perspectives, because the kinds of films I was most interested in were the ones where you kind of empathized with people you didn't expect to empathize with, and where you kind of feel like you're inside the moral dilemmas of the characters. So I volunteered at the Woodstock Farm Sanctuary for just a few days during my winter break when I was a senior, and I was just looking for a story, and I got to meet all the animals and the caregivers, and I happened to be there when they first heard about Kathy and her birds. And all I'd heard was that there were, you know, between 1 and 200 ducks, chickens, geese, and turkeys on this property in Wawarsing, which was about an hour away. And so I just hopped in the car with Sheila, who was the shelter manager at the time, and we just went and visited Kathy for the first time, and I brought my camera with me, and I, you know, met Kathy, and she was really warm and welcoming, and the situation was a bit confusing, She really loved her animals, but there were too many, and Sheila, you know, saw, you know, a lot of problems. And so I just, you know, felt, you know, I asked Kathy whether I could film, and she was happy to be on camera. And I just realized that this was a complex situation, and I wanted to follow it. So that's kind of how it got started. And then I just kept going back to film more.
Well, I was fascinated because you were there pretty much at the beginning. I know there was some earlier footage that probably came from Kathy's family that you showed, but the story, you really started at the beginning, and I thought, how did you know to start this story before you even knew what the ending was?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really was in the right place at the right time. And, you know, in terms of storytelling, this kind of was the inciting incident for what would, you know, spiral the rest of the story, which was, you know, the sanctuary visited Kathy and saw the situation. And then, you know, they were trying to get some birds off her hands, and the tension kind of kept building from there. So, I was very fortunate to be there when I was there, and be able to watch it unfold.
I'm also curious about people that are okay being filmed, especially when things get tense. And you said that Kathy was fine with you filming. Did it ever change where she didn't want you to film, or she was happy that you were documenting the story as it unfolded?
Yeah, I think for everybody, they were okay with me filming for most of the time. It's a really delicate set of relationships. You know, it's like consent to be filmed is an ongoing question. It's not, I never forced anyone to be filmed or assumed that it was okay. It was, you know, I made sure to develop relationships with everybody independently and try to not judge anybody. And I think that was, you know, part of what, you know, Kathy saw in me, and she allowed me kind of into her space and into her life because she saw that I was genuinely curious about her as a person, and to understand the greater context of her life. And the same went for the sanctuary. I mean, they knew I was a vegan. They knew that I cared about animals, and it was just kind of moving from one person to another and making sure that I kind of was keeping these relationships in good health. So it was hard. It definitely got harder and harder as the story kept going because there was more and more conflict that was arising. But I, you know, tried to kind of stay as neutral as I could in order to keep that access to everybody.
I was just talking with Issa Leshko, a photographer who has a new book out about aging animals, and the photography is amazing. But one of the things that we talked about was not being able to get signed, what do you call them? The notices.
Oh, a release?
A release. There we go. Form. Not being able to get the release form from the animals. And she made a big effort to be respectful of the animals kind of reading whether they were comfortable or not with her being there and with her being there with the camera. Mm-hmm. And once again, you know, you weren't able to get release forms from all of those birds. How do you think they felt about being where they were on Kathy's property?
I don't know that I can answer that question. I mean, I think that, and I don't want to pretend to try. I think that we try to project and understand what an animal's thinking, but it's hard. You know, I think like something I thought about a lot throughout the course of making this film was what happiness is and kind of levels of happiness, you know, because, you know, for example, like a duck who's never been on a pond, how do they know what they're missing, you know?
Right.
For, until they get to the ponds. And that's kind of, I find to be kind of an endlessly fascinating question, you know, for people as well. Like, how do you know if there's a greater happiness out there that you could have if you're kind of, if you've gotten used to the confines that you're already in. I definitely like thought about the idea of happiness and what makes a life fulfilling. I thought about that across the humans and the animals in this story while filming.
We don't really know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. It's rather gray because everybody brings compelling points to their story, but there were laws that Kathy was apparently breaking. Maybe she wasn't aware of it or whatever. But I kept thinking of a bigger picture where we have how many billion animals, 60 billion land animals a year are killed for food, and they're kept, most of them, in horrific conditions in factory farms. And a lot of it's legal.
Yeah.
And those were some of the questions that were coming up to me where, you know, I could understand the events that were happening in the film, but at the same, in the bigger picture, it's like, why isn't this happening all over?
Wait, why is what happening?
Well, yeah. why isn't the law there to protect?
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
birds in factory farms, they're not protected at all in terms right. of sentient beings.
Right, right.
So there's some kind of hypocrisy yeah. going on in the laws that we have that might protect a particular community about having too many animals living on a property versus in a factory.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and I think it has to do with labeling certain animals as agriculture animals and not as pets or as, you know, dogs and cats are protected. Yeah. I mean, that bigger question was certainly on my mind too, and also on the sanctuary's mind. What was interesting for the sanctuary is that they can't, as you said, like, you know, it's not illegal what's going on in these factory farms, or it's not enforced. And so it's, you know, I mean, you can't just go to a factory farm and call the SPCA and say, there's cruelty to animals happening here. Can we, you know, get a search warrant? And so the sanctuary saw that with Kathy's situation, they were able to help these animals, more so than they were able to help the animals a few miles away in a factory farm. And so it's definitely a huge irony that that exists kind of in the background of the film, I think. And, you know, for Kathy, you know, she saw herself as an animal advocate as well, and, you know, felt like she was doing, you know, a good thing for her animals, and also is a vegan. She became a vegan over the course of filming and was already a vegetarian. And so she kind of saw herself on the same side and as the sanctuary. And it was a very interesting world to be filming in, where kind of everybody technically cares about animals, but is in conflict with each other. And yet there's, like, you know, billions of other animals, you know, that are not being cared about at all out there. So, yeah, I don't know the answer to that question, but it's certainly a question I had too.
Well, that's what I appreciate about this film, because I believe as an artist should be asking questions or making us question what we perceive as normal or okay, and questioning the way things are. You don't have to provide the answers, but to start, yeah. but to start the conversation. And we have right. lots of films coming out. I remember when I first became a vegan, which was 31 years ago, there really weren't any films. There was one. There was Diet for New America with John Robbins, and it was a great mm-hmm. film. But it took a long time before technology made it a lot easier for more people to be in the right place at the right time and start filming and enable a lot of us to view these things. But most of the stories kind of assume one side and lead us along. They're the good guys and the bad guys. And I mean, I enjoy a lot of them, but some people just totally disagree and just don't want to have anything to do with the film. But this, that's what I appreciated about For the Birds, that you were showing all sides and with a degree of respect and where we can understand how complicated life is.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, there was something I learned in a documentary class I took in school. I may have read this in one of the books we had, and it was that right versus wrong is not as interesting as right versus right. And so to use that as a principle in storytelling to say, like, can we justify, or can each character justify what they're doing and also be in conflict? And, you know, if we're wrestling with, I mean, I kind of call it like empathetic tension, because I think that's kind of like what I felt while filming, where I, you know, would spend time with one person and kind of see, oh, I see your point, you know, and then I go to the next one and I'm like, oh, I see your point. And then suddenly you kind of have this swirl of like people and animals that you care about. And yet the situation is such a mess. So I really wanted to take the audience on that same journey where they could kind of feel that tension inside of them of, you know, caring for somebody, but also disagreeing with them at times, that kind of thing.
You may not know the answer to this question, but I'm just wondering, after seeing the film, how many farm sanctuaries get involved in legal cases doing something that the other party doesn't think is fair and ends up suing?
Or
fighting.
I don't know how frequent it is, but I don't think it's that frequent, because I don't think that sanctuaries want to get involved in legal cases.
No, I don't think they could afford it.
Yeah, certainly the SPCA didn't want that to happen either. I think it was a surprise for everybody, including me, that Kathy ended up having a lawyer come on her side and push back, because that had never happened for the SPCA in a situation like this. So. So it became, it was about a 9-month legal battle, because Kathy's lawyer, you know, fought back. I don't think that was an ideal situation for anyone really. it's kind of rare it made the film more interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It made the film very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's talk about where people can see this. I understand there's an event coming up in New York City at IFC Center, May 31st to June 6th.
Yeah. It'll be running, for those 7 days, 5 times a day, I believe. So people can see it.
There'll be a Q&A opening night, something like that?
This Friday night and Saturday night at the primetime showings, we'll have a Q&A with myself and my co-producer and co-editor, Jeffrey Starr, and our executive producer, Brian Reed, who made the podcast S-Town, which some people may be familiar with. So he's going to be moderating a discussion with Jeffrey and me, and then we'll have, you know, question and answers afterwards. That'll be opening weekend.
Okay, then you go over to Los Angeles to the Lem. How do you pronounce this?
The Lemley Monica Film Center in Santa Monica.
Very good, and that's on June 10th.
June 14th.
Oh, June 14th. Oh, yeah. I have two different things here. Okay.
Oh. The tickets will go on sale on June 10th.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So the tickets go on sale May 27th for New York's IFC Center and June 10th for the Lemley Monica Film Center. Great. Yeah. And after this, the film will be available for streaming in July?
Yeah. At the end of July, we'll be launching on digital platforms. And then, so people will be able to stream it in any English-speaking country, I believe, or most English-speaking territories. Yeah.
Well, it's a great film to have at events because, like I said before, it really starts a conversation.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. It's been quite a journey. We've been at 20 film festivals, and the conversations with the audiences afterwards are amazing. People really have a lot of questions and are left thinking for weeks, they tell me. So it's
that's great. Were there any particular comments or questions that were surprising or profound to you?
I don't know. A lot of them are about the plot. I mean, and about how it got started.
Yeah, that was the most fascinating part to me. How was it you were there, right? The right place at the right time.
Yeah,
and do you have anything coming up other than promoting this film? Any other right place at the right time films you're working on?
Not yet. I'm working as an editor on other documentaries right now until I have a spark of inspiration for my next project.
So before
I'll keep you posted.
Before we go, I just wanted to ask you, why did you go vegan?
Yeah, great question. I had become a vegetarian when I was 9 or 10 years old. And I was one of those kids who, as soon as I really realized what I was eating, I got really disgusted by it. And I just told my parents I wasn't eating it anymore. I became vegetarian and then was that way until college. And then when I was in college, I knew a guy who was a vegan was just like, I would have dinner in the dining hall and kind of see his plate like full of colorful vegetables and like, you know, everything that is nutritious and healthy and aesthetically pleasing. And I just asked him one day when we were eating dinner, I said, okay, like, tell me why I should be vegan. I was just in that place of like, I'm ready to open my mind if you give it to me straight. And he did. And he just kind of within 2 minutes, he kind of described factory farms for eggs and dairy as just as bad or worse than the meat industry, and described it as essentially slavery for these animals. And I was just really moved by that argument. And then I said to him, okay, I'm going to try being vegan tomorrow. And I went home that night and then I just was Googling everything and watching all these videos and just in complete shock at what I had kind of pushed away for years and years. And so it was kind of a rabbit hole of truth that I just couldn't avoid anymore. And from that point onward, I've been vegan. So I've been vegan about 10 years now.
Thank you.
It was the best choice of my life.
Yes, thank you. I think that's one of the reasons why For the Birds is also an important film, because people find it hard to understand that dairy cows and chickens are probably more abused than animals we raise for flesh. The end result for all of them is slaughter, which isn't pleasant, but it's the journey to slaughter and dairy cows and chickens that lay eggs specifically are just drained of life from as soon as they're born to produce until they no longer can, and then they're slaughtered. And there are so many of them. And many people give up red meat and go to chicken. And then the chickens that are raised for their flesh are also, I mean, it's just a disaster. And people need to know that.
Yeah.
They need to know this information. And we need to think more about birds, that they're intelligent and they're kind and caring and have feelings. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Richard Myron, thanks for joining me today on It's All About Food, and I wish you the very best with the premieres of your film in New York City and in LA and with future screenings, and I look forward to see what else you come up with in the future.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Okay, take care. That was Richard Myron, everybody, and I really recommend, when you have a chance, to see For the Birds. It's a very provocative film, and it's only 90 minutes.